Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Time to take a look at the geology of Wisconsin. You know, Wednesdays here on the Ideas Network from 11 to 12:30, we like to take a look at things relating to the environment and the natural areas of our state, and certainly the geology of Wisconsin is always fun to talk about, especially with our two guests today, Dave Michelson, Emeritus Professor of Geology and Geophysics. He's a senior scientist at the UW-Madison. Dave, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Pleased to be here.
And Bob Dott, Robert Dott, Emeritus Professor of Sedimentary Geology at the UW-Madison, co-author of Roadside Geology of Wisconsin. We've had him on a number of times as well, so it's great. Bob, it's great to have you back as well. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
What... Well, first, just you, Bob, you've spent an awful lot of time at the Arboretum yourself.
Yes, I have.
And Dave, I imagine you probably have as well.
Quite a bit of time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to talk with Frank Court about it. But it's one of our real treasures, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
It's wonderful. But as we look and get out of Madison and just look at the geology of the state. Talk first, Bob, about the kinds of geologic conditions we have in the state and where we find these different conditions.
Well, in the northern part of the state, the bedrock that's exposed, and particularly along the rivers valleys, is quite old. The oldest dated rocks in Wisconsin are about 2.8 billion years old. But that's really only about half the age of the Earth, so they aren't as old as you might think. Certainly not the oldest rocks in the world. Just as Devil's Lake's not the deepest lake in the state, as is often said. there are a lot of superlatives around that are mostly wrong. As we come into the southern and western part of the states, we see a younger stratified rock, sedimentary rocks, that are nearly flat-lying, whereas the older Precambrian rocks to the north have been very much deformed and metamorphosed, which means altered in composition and texture. Eastern Wisconsin has similar nearly flat-lying strata that are, though in both western and eastern, the strata spans ages from about 500 million years to about 300, a little more than 300 million. Million, not billion.
Not million, yeah.
And so there's a huge gap between these older complex so-called Precambrian rocks and the younger flat-lying 500 million and slightly younger ones. There's a lot of spectacular scenery involved with these older rocks, places like Devil's Lake, like the Dells and buttes and mesas along Interstate Highway I-94-90 going up toward Minnesota. But otherwise, the surficial part of the state is mostly in Dave's department, namely glacial deposits and glacial erosion phenomena. So,
Dave, obviously the glaciers played a big role in forming the geology of our state.
They covered about 2/3 of our state. In the last glaciation, and I'm sure most people know that southwest Wisconsin is distinctly different in topography than the rest of the state, and that's because it wasn't glaciated. That's the driftless area.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. I'm not sure I gave the number, so let me do it right now. If you have a question or comment for our guests, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. 1234. You can email me at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. We have actually some comments, several emails already. Kevin wonders, an interesting question, where can you find gold that can be panned by the public here in the state? Any ideas?
I know there are minor amounts of gold in some of the Precambrian rocks, like I think up in eastern Marathon County. But in terms of panning, I'm not aware of any place where you can pan a reasonable amount of gold.
Yeah.
There doubtless is a minor amount of gold in stream beds, draining those old rocks in the north. But where there would be any interesting panning, I don't know either.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a guess. I mean, I've never really heard anybody discuss or talk about panning for gold here.
I haven't either.
So
people might be interested to know that in the past people have found diamonds in the glacial deposits here.
That's right.
So they have found panned for diamonds.
And people have found them.
Yes.
I think Jerry Apps used that in a book of his that he wrote.
Especially in eastern Wisconsin.
Right. And even around south central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Shane in Port Wing wondered if you would talk about the geology of the Moqua Barrens in the Shawangan National Forest in Bayfield County? Moquah.
Well, if that's what I'm thinking, it's that high sandy, sandy barrens, basically.
Yeah, the barrens.
And that is all glacial meltwater deposit. So when the glacier was retreating about 14,000 years ago, there was basically a split between two lobes of ice, and rivers were coming off both lobes into the middle, and that sand and gravel was deposited in that time. It's very similar, actually, to the way parts of the Kettle Moraine formed in eastern Wisconsin. Sand and gravel also.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, thanks for that question. And we get Becky and Ryo on board with a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Becky. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for having the program. My son and I have been curious about a rock that our neighbor unearthed on their farm. We live in Columbia County, and I know almost nothing about rocks, so I'll tell you it's a very large, dark gray rock, but it has about an inch to 2 inch wide white streak all the way through it in the two opposite directions, so it forms a perfect white cross or an X in the middle of this very large dark rock. How could that happen?
Pretty. Sounds pretty.
Yes.
Bob, go ahead.
That boulder is undoubtedly a big erratic boulder that was carried down by the ice and dropped as the ice melted. And it would have been a piece of those ancient rocks we talked about from the north, the Precambrian rocks. And I'm as dark gray, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, probably some igneous rock. There are lots of dark gray igneous rocks from the north. And the X is undoubtedly a couple of veins that intersect that are probably filled with quartz, if they're white.
Hmm.
Or there could be another white mineral, calcite, that would have been deposited by solutions, probably hot solutions, percolating through fractures in that rock. This would be billions of years ago, most likely, and precipitating these filling the veins with precipitated quartz or calcite.
Very cool. Thanks, Becky.
It is an interesting-looking rock. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Rich in Green Lake County, hi to you.
Hi, this is Rich. I live on the east end of Green Lake, and I've always been curious as to why Green Lake is so deep. I think 237 feet deep, and all the lakes around it are much more shallow. You've got Pucky Ann and Rush Lake and Winnebago are very shallow. Why Green Lake would be so much deeper?
Hmm. Well, Dave Michelson, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, Green Lake sits over what we call a buried valley. This is a preglacial valley that's very deep and runs from up in Shawano County all the way down to Sauk County, eastern Sauk County. And this was a preglacial river, and there's places where the valley is cut into the bedrock over 500 feet. So that's a very deep valley. And when the glacier came down, it filled parts of the valley right up with glacial deposits, but parts of it didn't get filled. And Green Lake is just part of that deep buried valley that didn't get filled up by the glacier. It's really just chance that didn't get filled, whereas areas to the northeast and southwest did pretty much get filled up with meltwater sediment and sediment directly from the glacier.
Dave, wouldn't it have been a gorge, essentially?
It probably was a gorge. Like I said, it's over 500 feet deep, yeah. And less than a mile wide in many places. So it's very deep.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Rich.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Question for Dave. We got an email from Dolly at the Cold Cache program of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. The Cold Cache, is it catch or cash? Cash, isn't
cash,
it?
Cash, I'd say.
Yeah. The Cold Cache program, and cash spelled C-A-C-H-E, a program was sponsored by the Ice Age Trail Alliance, would be a great way for people to learn about some of the geologic features in Wisconsin by actually visiting the sites. Dave, maybe you can talk about cold caching, and we have a link to the page now on our Facebook page.
Well, as you know, Larry, there is this Ice Age Trail that's a national scenic trail that goes across the state of Wisconsin. And Dolly has really taken the lead in developing these cold cache sites. And basically, she has identified a number of different geologic features that people can basically search for and add to their list of things that they've located. Typically, people might use a GPS unit to locate them. But then on the website, there is information on how to connect to all of these. So if people go to that Ice Age Trail Alliance website, they can see that cold cache program.
Very cool. And we've got a link to the cold cache page as a comment to the Facebook status for this program. So you need to get there. Just go to our Facebook page, and we got the link. Betsy in River Falls, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm sitting next to my copy of Roadside Geology of Wisconsin, Mr. Dot, so thank you very much. But my question is, I have heard from two sources that the St. Croix River at Stillwater is 140 feet deep, and that in three native languages it's called the river where fish sleep. And I've gone to St. Croix Falls, where they've got the thing on the river, and they were not able to verify this. Is it possible that I could verify that it's 140 feet deep?
Please. Actually, I think my colleague can answer this better than I, Dave.
Yeah. Well, at St. Croix Falls, as you know, there's Interstate Park on both sides of the St. Croix River. And preserved there are these potholes up high, and that is a deep gorge. I can't tell you exactly how deep it is. But that was cut by a large flood that came out of the Lake Superior Basin.
And we can talk some more about that. We need to take a quick break for a look at the news, weather, and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. Then we'll be back with Dave Michelson and Bob Dot. Larry Mueller here. Stay with us. Wisconsin residents know that different parts of the state have pretty distinct landscapes, but what caused all that variety and what factors were at play in those areas? Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along on the Ideas Network today. Geology impacts our lives in ways we don't think about very often or a lot of times don't really appreciate, whether it's protecting soil and water quality or predicting earthquakes or looking at geothermal energy options. We rely on geologists like Bob Dot and Dave Michelson. Emeritus Professors of Geology at UW-Madison. My guests today are, you may be a geology buff. Where do you go to enjoy our geological wonders? Dave and Bob are really happy to answer your questions when you call at 1-800-642-1234 or leave a question, a comment, or a geology photo on our Facebook page. Do that at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll be back right after the news. Well, way back in grade school, you probably learned that sedimentary, metamorphic, and igneous are the three main kinds of rocks. But I don't know, if you're like me, you may not have gotten a whole lot further or deeper into geology at that time. But it's a fascinating field and one that intersects many other disciplines. We're happy to have two geology experts with us today to share their enthusiasm and their knowledge of our Wisconsin terrain. Bob Dot, Emeritus Professor of Sedimentary Geology at the UW Madison and co-author of Roadside Geology of Wisconsin. And Bob, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it very much. And Dave Michelson, Emeritus Professor of Geology and Geophysics and a senior scientist at UW-Madison. He's also the co-author of Geology of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. And Dave, of course, it's good to have you back on the show as well. We were talking about St. Croix Falls and Interstate Park before our news break, but maybe you could talk, give us a little more information on that area.
Well, when the glacier was retreating back into the Lake Superior Basin, the east end of Lake Superior was still filled with ice, so there was no outlet for water there. And at that point, Lake Superior was substantially higher and flowed down the St. Croix. So what's now the Brule was under the lake, basically, okay. And the edge of the lake was right up in that low divide between the Brule and the St. Croix. And at times, there were huge floods of water that came along the ice sheet from as far west as Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Into Lake Superior and then down the St. Croix River. So not only was a deep gorge cut, but potholes were cut at the bottom of this rushing stream up on both sides of the river. And they're really spectacular where they're preserved at Interstate Park.
Oh, that's really, really cool. Sometimes you wonder, gosh, it would have been fun to have been able to see that. Wouldn't it?
It would have been spectacular.
Yeah,
from a very high bluff.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Mark in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
See, I got a son that's going to be turning 8, and he's got a birthday coming up, and he loves rocks. Pockets, picks them up everywhere, washer, dryer, what have you. And we wanted to get him some kind of polish kit or a rock kit or something for his age, you know, to kind of get him kicked up going on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions?
All right. Dave?
Well, I'd suggest going to the website of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. They have education packets. I don't think they have, you know, boxes of samples, but they certainly have lots of educational materials available, both on the web and materials that they can send out. Lots of publications about Wisconsin geology and Wisconsin fossils and so on. So I would think that's a good place to start. Other than that, in terms of actually getting a kit, I suppose a rock and mineral shop. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's see.
So you're in La Crosse.
I'm not sure what there is in La Crosse. We have one here in Madison, but I'm not sure what's
there. We have a really
there.
Good one in Madison.
Yeah. Bernie's.
Bernie's Rock Shop.
Yeah.
Bernie's Rock Shop, huh?
B-E-R-N-I-E-S, yeah.
B-U-R-N-I-E-S.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
B-U-R.
Yeah, and I'll bet they're online.
Yeah.
I'm sure they must be.
You might be able to order something right straight from them, but they've got, it's really fun to go in the store and the rocks and the polished rocks and so over they have is really a lot of fun to look at.
Great. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Bryce in Sturgeon Bay, hi to you.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was just up in, you know, I live in Door County here, and you see around a lot, you know, especially in my backyard when we excavated our house, you'd see in the limestone, you know, fossils of old coral. But I was in northern Door County the other day for work, and I was going along, and I found actually a piece of coral that you could actually see the holes all the way through. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not quite sure I do.
Well, you know, it was like fossilized coral,
yeah.
I'm assuming, because it had, you know, the pattern. But I could see, you know, how it's usually like a bunch of pits,
mm-hmm.
generally.
Yeah.
Oh,
and these
were... actually
look right through the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah, you could look right through the whole thing. Uh-huh. I was just wondering how something like that would happen. I've never seen anything like that before.
Huh. Well, I don't know the exact coral it is. There are several different corals in those rocks, which belong to the Silurian geologic period. They're in round numbers 400 million years old. And there's quite a variety of fossils that occur in it, but corals are among the most abundant all up and down eastern Wisconsin. And I suspect the thing has just maybe been weathered a bit so that the hole is open, clear through. That's all I can guess.
Just a weathering. Okay,
I think so. There
you go, Bryce. Thanks for calling. Bob in West Allis, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. Number one is, just south of New Auburn, there's a series of very high hills that apparently are either non-glaciated or at least were not removed by the glacier. And I'm wondering about the status of those hills. Secondly, the other question has to do with all the frack sand that is being mined in that general area. And what was the source of that frack sand? Why is it different than other sand? The third thing was that when I was worked with my father on the telephone lines, we used to dig down and see various layers. And my father described that is the reason why you see various layers, because when the glacier melted, you had different speeds of runoff. And sometimes you'd have coarse gravel, sometimes you'd have fine sand, and sometimes you'd have rocks. So those are my comments and questions.
I'll take the first part of that.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
You're talking about the northern part of the Driftless area. Does that sound
right?
With
New Auburn?
New Auburn.
Yes, just south of Auburn.
And those hills are, as you say, they're underlain by bedrock, mostly of what we call the later part of the Cambrian period, in round numbers, 500 million years old. And sandstones dominate the sequence of Cambrian rocks, and they're widely exposed all through the western uplands of Wisconsin, which mostly is in the Driftless area. And so that's why they're well exposed, because the glacial deposits are not present, or in some places very thin and have been eroded away. Now, within the sequence of those rocks, there are two or three intervals of very pure quartz sand, or sandstone, actually, although they're not very well cemented, so they crumble away to loose sand very quickly when they're weathered. And some of those layers are so pure that they're very attractive for so-called frack sand. Now, what is frack sand? It's sand for fracturing rocks in the process of drilling wells, mostly in the oil industry. What is done when a well is drilling into a rock that is known to have either oil or natural gas or both, but is particularly hard and low permeability. In other words, they know there's oil and gas in there, but it's hard to get it out. It won't flow quickly to a well. But fracturing it artificially will help that process, because it opens more permeable space within the reservoir rock. This is a fairly old technique. A lot of people probably think it's brand new because it's only entered the popular vocabulary in the last 5 or 10 years. It's an old technique used in the oil industry long ago in deep wells below the surface, way below the surface, for artificially fracturing a rock to enhance its permeability so that the fluids will flow to the wells more readily. Now, in recent years, it's been discovered that there's actually quite a bit of natural gas trapped in very impermeable rocks, shales primarily, and other very well-cemented ones, and that if we treat them with fracturing, they're actually able to withdraw natural gas, even from shales. And another thing that's happened in the industry that's been important in revolutionizing this kind of recovery is what was called as horizontal drilling. Engineers in that industry have become very clever at deflecting a drill bit on the end of a long rotating pipe, string of pipe, even into a horizontal position, so it can drill right along a particular stratum that is known to have gas. And then they can frack that rock and expose much, much greater area and volume of rock to the well, and therefore enhance extraction. Now, it turns out that sand of a particular size, about half a millimeter in diameter or a little more, of quartz, because quartz is such a resistant, tough mineral, that is pumped into the fractures as they are formed under very high pressure. by pressure by fluids pumped into the well to produce artificial fractures. But if you don't have something to block the fractures from closing again, you don't get much. But if you can block it with these quartz grains so that they don't close completely, then you get a much greater recovery of gas and oil. And it turns out that Wisconsin is very well endowed with pure quartz sand of that grain size, and so it's ideal for fracturing. And the industry, a little more than 10 years ago, when they first really started this horizontal drilling for natural gas and shales, realized that Wisconsin was a place to go find a lot of it. And so in the last 5 or 6 years, we've had this boom of leasing localities and opening quarries to take out frac sand. I wish I could remember the statistic of how many new quarries there are doing this, but it counts in the dozens. And we're hearing a lot about it. There's a lot of controversy. Locals are upset. Some locals are very upset. Others can't wait to sign them up, I guess. So it's bagged up from Wisconsin and shipped usually by rail to Texas and elsewhere where it's needed.
Thanks again, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. Interesting. Matthew in Warren, Illinois, your turn. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I live in far northwest Illinois in the Driftless area here, and I've been noticing that a lot of our alfalfa fields in the drought have been drying up except for the plants that are above all the fractured bedrock. And if you have the right combination of a thin topsoil and something with a long root like alfalfa growing there, you can see all the fractures in the bedrock. And I know that that's what has caused a tremendous number of drinking wells in Wisconsin that have get contaminated is through the spreading of animal waste on these fields that have the shallow topsoil. And I think this sort of very visually demonstrates how fractured our bedrock is. The Illinois State Geological Survey sent a team out here just a couple weeks ago and flew over and took some aerial pictures. And if you go to the home website of Illinois State Geological Survey, they have some aerial photographs of karst landscape with these lines in the alfalfa fields. I was just wondering if you could comment about that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly been noticeable in this dry summer. You can notice, especially in the Driftless area, where, as our caller mentioned, the soils are thin. So the effect of these fractures in the rock really show up. And the reason it shows up is the fractures have allowed the soil to be thicker there. I mean, the soil's thicker over the fracture, so there's more moisture. It's typically a clay that's in there. And so those stay green where the rest of the vegetation around the fracture turns brown when it's really dry. And it's very noticeable even along just driving the highways in the Driftless area.
Yeah, very interesting. Thanks for calling, Matthew. Appreciate it. Bob in Eau Claire, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, we are recent transplants to the Eau Claire area from Minnesota, and we live north of Mille Lacs Lake in the heart of a major glacial drift. And we understand that Eau Claire is on the edge of the Driftless area, and we've got the same sand that you were talking about to the other Bob a couple calls ago. And my question is, how close did the glacial sheet actually come to Eau Claire? And is the Chippewa River part of the outflow from the alluvial stream when the glacier melted?
More interesting questions. Well, Dave, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, you see a distinctly different landscape as you go from Eau Claire up to Chippewa Falls, and then over just slightly east is where the last glaciation, what's called the Wisconsin glaciation, ended. So that's a lobe of ice called the Chippewa Lobe, and the rivers from that flowed out and made river valleys and also broad sand plains, outwash plains. Lake Wissota, for instance, is in that a broad outwash plain that was built out in front of the glacier when it sat at its maximum position there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And we had a caller earlier wondering how deep the St. Croix River was, and Dave called to follow up on that earlier call. He said that the deepest point of St. Croix River is under the bridge at Taylor Falls. It's 31 feet deep at Stillwater. So there you have it. Nancy in Eustisford, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I've always wondered about, there's an area west of Houston, west of Hartford, probably quite a few miles west. And it seems everything, all the hills sort of run north and south, and the valleys north and south. And I was wondering, you know, I'm sure it's somehow related to a glacier, but is it really? And is there somewhere I can learn more specifically about what kind of glaciers affected that specific area?
Okay. David?
Well, you're looking at drumlins. Drumlins are elongate hills that form underneath the glacier. And in that area, they run more or less north-south. As you get over farther west, the glacier was flowing toward the southwest. So over by Beaver Dam and between Beaver Dam and Columbus and Sun Prairie, the drumlins are oriented sort of northeast-southwest because they're, again, indicating the way the ice was flowing. So there at Hartford or Eustisford, you're just west of the Kettle Moraine. So that's in an area that was covered by ice that's called the Green Bay Lobe. And that Green Bay Lobe formed thousands of drumlins. I think there are over 5,000 drumlins just in the southern part of the Green Bay Lobe.
Huh.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate it. Kevin in Footville. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi. I was wondering about if I can talk about the Ice Age Trail route through Rock County, Wisconsin.
Sure.
Okay. Currently, or what they're, it's the draft plan for Rock County includes Magnolia Bluff County Park and a parcel that I own called Lone Rock near Footville. And in my research, and it's right there in the draft on the map on page 20, we're in the Orfordville erosional formation, which belongs to the Illinois era glacial activity, and all the Wisconsin era glacial formations are north of Highway 14 and include Rock County's Gibbs Lake Park. It's actually a glacial pothole, and it formed in the middle of a glacial tunnel when the Johnstown Moraine was having its melt-off. And I was hoping you guys might consider making the trail as accurate as possible and take it, you know, on Rock County, be County Highway M to Gibbs Lake and over to Janesville. And that would be really accurate and really great.
Hmm. Dave Michelson?
Well, I know the planning is underway for the Ice Age Trail in Rock County. I think the National Park Service sponsored several public meetings in the last 9 months or so in Rock County to talk about possible routes for the trail. And I personally don't, you know, I'm not involved in actually making a decision on where the trail goes, but I would suggest you contact either the Ice Age Trail Alliance or actually the group that probably has most influence on where the actual trail goes is the National Park Service. And there is an office in Madison for the Ice Age Trail with the National Park Service, and that is who I'd recommend you contact.
Mm-hmm.
I was at one of those meetings, and they were happy with keeping it in Magnolia and over to Footville, and you've got public land and you've got all the actual geologic, you know, history in the northern part of the county, and it's even in the draft that they say that Rock County used to be one of the preeminent sources for geological research, and I was hoping that we could have an accurate trail.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
I'll be happy to talk to the Park Service about it in terms of the geologic history and so on. And I think I presented at one of those meetings. So, but I'll be happy to look into that and mention it to them.
All right.
But otherwise, you should contact them, I would think.
Thanks, Kevin, for calling. And Deb in Brown Deer. Hi, Deborah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a couple of quick questions. Do you think that extracting natural resources from the Earth has an effect on the integrity of the planet? And that's just something I've always been curious about. And then the other question is, have you been to Lion's Den Park? It's in Mequon, and it's got like a bog boardwalk, a prairie area, and then a trail along the rim of the cliff overlooking Lake Michigan. Then you get to a staircase and a gorge waterfall, and then I'll see these cedar trees and then Lake Michigan, and it's really amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've been there. It is a great spot. Yeah. I've done quite a bit of work along the Lake Michigan shoreline on the high bluffs there in Ozaukee County, and that is a spectacular spot. And a nice place to hike.
Yeah, it's a great place. Thank you, Deb, for calling. And Carol wondered in like 30 seconds or 45 seconds, give us the history of the Pinocchio Gogebic Range. Yeah, Gogebic.
Yeah, it's a range of hills in the northern uplands of Wisconsin, in the region of very old rocks we call Precambrian. And the rocks around there are up to 2 billion years old, some of them. Lots of granites and metamorphosed things called schists and gneisses. And in the Gogebic Range, these rocks were deformed and upheaved as a part of an ancient mountain system around 1,850 or 1,860 million years ago.
Wow.
In other words, 1.8 plus billion years ago. And it really was part of a very major mountain uplift region, which crossed probably the northern half of Wisconsin. And it marks a very important point in the history of the upper Midwest.
And with that, we have to conclude. Guys, it's always a pleasure. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Sure.
Happy to.
Oh, I'd love to have you back. Dave Michelson and Bob Dott, Emeritus Professors of Geology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks to them, and thanks to you for listening. And stay with us. Lots in store.